This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it a privilege again to come into your homes and to spend this half hour with you. If you have your Bibles now, we'll again continue our Bible study here on the subject of the speaking in tongues as found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So while you're turning over there in your Bibles now to the 14th chapter, we will begin here in verse 5 and pick up where we left off last week. In verse 5, the Bible tells us here in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth, that means give forth the word of God, than he that speaketh with tongues, except now he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying. Now again, in verse 5, this verse reemphasizes their desire for themselves to physically experience the sensationalism of speaking in tongues. They had no concern for an interpretation or an interpreter. Now, since they had no one interpreting, it was proof that they were interested in no one but themselves. He rebukes them again, trying to impress upon them that except he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying, not yourself. You see, the purpose for tongues with an interpreter was only for the edifying of the church. And folks, I would mark this in my Bible, because this is what is construed by the tongues movement, the Pentecostal movement, and that, and have construed this all around to make it for some private edification. That was never the purpose at all at any time when God gave the speaking in languages. Now, again, the purpose for tongues with an interpreter was only for the edifying of the church. Now notice in verse 12, it was not for a personal so-called experience. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, let us go on down here to verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation? I would underline this in my Bible, because we're going to look this up here, and you're going to see how the counterfeit tongues gave forth nothing of the Word of God. It was a counterfeit 100%. And it says, what shall I profit you, except I speak unto you either by, number one, revelation, number two, by knowledge, number three, by prophesying, or number four, by doctrine. Now, this verse again reemphasizes to the individual that tongues were to profit the listener. The reason? God's word edifies, and he builds up the believer. The interpreter gave forth the word of God in their language with words easy to be understood. Paul uses the example of himself coming unto them for their profit. What shall I profit you? In like manner, those speaking in tongues were to go unto others for their profit, not just their own. Now notice carefully, if you will, the listener could not profit unless the speaker was speaking by the Holy Spirit and manifested whether by, first of all, revelation, number two, knowledge, number three, prophesying, and number four, doctrine. Now, had those who were speaking in tongues been doing it by the Holy Spirit, then there would have been no need for the instructions and the rebuke in this verse. This is proof that a counterfeit spirit was working in and through the speaker. They were not speaking by revelation. They were not speaking by knowledge. They were not speaking and prophesying, giving forth the Word of God, and it contained absolutely no biblical doctrine. If they had been, there would have been no need for this verse to have been in the Bible. Now, added illumination appears as we examine the meaning of these four words, and I hope you follow along, and if you have a Vines Expository Words on the Greek New Testament, You may look these up for yourself. But I want to give them to you to show you that those speaking by a counterfeit spirit, trying to counterfeit the Holy Spirit, did not give forth anything of the Word of God. That is the reason they had no interpreter. It didn't have any revelation from God. Now, let's look up the word revelation. If you look this up in the Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words by W.E. Vine, you'll find out, and let me quote the definition of the word revelation. It is an expression of the mind of God for the instruction of the church. Now, let me give you the definition in the Greek here of knowledge. This donates knowledge especially and absolutely of a spiritual truth. Not just a general knowledge, not speaking about that in the Greek, but a knowledge especially and absolutely of a spiritual truth. Prophesying, let me give you this according to Vines, if I may, signifies the speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God. Now, let me give you the definition of doctrine. It denotes teaching. The word is correctly translated teaching in the Revised Standard Version, and that's exactly the way it should be translated. Not quite correct in the King James here, but denotes teaching. Now, a study of verse 6 reveals to us a lot more than may appear at a casual reading. Notice carefully that the counterfeit tongues were void of, notice it now, not the mind of God. They were not giving forth the mind of God. No counterfeit spirit will. It did not contain, number 2, any spiritual truth whatsoever, so nobody could be edified. That's exactly what a counterfeit spirit excels to do. Make the person feel religious, but give out nothing of the Word of God. The third thing, it was void of the counsel of God. The fourth thing, it did not contain any teaching whatsoever. And this is what the counterfeit spirit was doing. He was making the person jump all around, speaking, counterfeiting in tongues, but with no interpreter of that. Of course not, because it was a counterfeit, and it contained nothing of the Bible whatsoever, and that's the meaning of this verse right here. This is exactly what a demonic spirit loves to do. Make a person feel religious without an understanding of the Word of God, and this is exactly what was taking place in Corinth. Now, we come to verses 7 to 19 here, which we have outlined it. The church is to be controlled by clarity. Now, let's take verses 7 to 9 here, if you will, and let's read them. Follow along in your Bible with me, if you will. In verse 7, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak unto the air. Now, the trumpet had been used for centuries as a signal device for armies. The Israelites used the trumpet to call an assembly, to announce war, to forward march, and also for special days. Each were recognized by a separate and distinct sound of the trumpet. During World War II, for example, one calling of the trumpet was a call to mess, another meant to get up in the morning, and so forth. If the sound was not clear and distinct, you might go to the wrong place or do the wrong thing at the wrong time. In other words, there would be utter confusion. Now, the clarity and the infallibility of God's Word is what builds up the Christian. This is the foundation that will last. No wonder we are instructed to utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. Then there will be no confusion among those assembled. Shallow emotionalism soon fades, leaving the speakers themselves in want along with the listeners. Now, here is the conclusion after the jumping up and down, the jerking of the body here and there, the flood of emotional, ecstatic sounds, and the exclamation of praise Jesus, over and over, louder and louder, God sums up the whole ordeal in verse 9, how shall it be known what is spoken, for ye shall speak unto the air, and that is exactly what is being done in the Pentecostal meetings and the tongues meetings today. I've been to literally hundreds of them, and I can verify the fact I've never seen such a mixed up, jumbled up mess in all my life. No one is edified, except it's almost like a circus. Those up front trying to impress everybody in the audience that they have it, and how far wrong they could really be. Now, let us go here to verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Now, every sound is significant and meaningful somewhere. Even though the speaker did not know what he was saying, the sound had a meaning somewhere in someone's language. If the speaker was speaking by a demonic spirit, the demon could actually curse Jesus through the speaker's vocal cords and allow the speaker to feel sensationalism at the same time. Now, the demon cursed Christ and convinced the speaker that he was speaking by the Holy Spirit instead of an unholy spirit. He had the speaker confused. This was the master plan of Satan, convincing a person they are doing something by the Holy Spirit while in reality they are outright going contrary to the Word of God. This is why 1 Corinthians boldly stated that no man speaking, that is, speaking in tongues by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. The demons were actually cursing Jesus, then using the vocal cords of the speaker, and the speaker thought it was by the Holy Spirit, and the demon was just ha-ha and laughing. He had deceived the speaker and was cursing Jesus Christ and counterfeiting that of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go on down to verses 11 to 13, if you will. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, in these three verses, we have in respect to tongues the meaning, verse 11, the motive in verse 12, and the message in verse 13. Now, notice here, if you will, in verse 11, there is no meaning to the voice if there is no interpreter. Now notice in verse 28, if you will. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. If one goes ahead and speaks in tongues without an interpreter, he is like a barbarian. Now a barbarian was one who spoke in an unintelligible foreign language. An example of this is found in Acts chapter 28, verse 2, and also verse 4, when the inhabitants of Melita are called barbarians. That means they spoke with a Punic dialect. Without an interpreter, there was no meaning to the sounds, and no one profited. Now, notice here in verse 12, it reveals to us the wrong motive of the Corinthians. They proceeded even though the church was not edified. We are told they were zealous of spiritual things, and the word gifts here is italicized and does not belong in the original. But they were not concerned about others at all. Since their motive was not to edify the church, it only leaves us to conclude that they were only interested in themselves. Therefore, Paul seeks to correct their motive by instructing them to seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church, and I would underline that in my Bible and have it there. Now notice in verse 13, who is instructed to interpret? It is the speaker himself. Verse 5 says exactly the same thing. The speaker is to interpret. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he, that's the speaker, interpret, that the church may receive the edifying. Now, you see, when we lay God's instructions alongside of what is going on in the so-called tongues meetings today, it is easy to see why they do not parallel the spirit of the Word of God. The Word of God gives us doctrinal lessons, but there is also a spiritual lesson to be valued here. Let us as Christians today speak words easy to be understood, as recorded in verse 11. Then make sure our motive is pure in God's sight. Seek to build others up in the faith, humbling ourselves that others may be exalted in verse 12. Then, as we walk in the Spirit of God, having an understanding of where we are going, what we are doing, and what we are saying, all three will give peace to our lives, influence others, and give God the glory. Now, let us continue on here with verses here 14 to 19. Now, let's take verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, or unknown, remember now is italicized, does not belong in the Bible. It's not in the manuscripts. If I pray in a tongue or a language, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. In verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, let's read on down through verse 19. Else what shall thou bless with the spirit? How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. And yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding that By my voice, I might teach others also, then 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, not only does chapter 14 cover speaking in tongues, but this section covers also praying, singing, and giving thanks in tongues, all of which are prohibited. Now notice in verse 14. Verse 14 has caused confusion to many concerning my spirit prayeth. Now, let's notice and read it again. For if I pray in a language, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, we're going to take a minute and examine this, as this is very important. Now, is the spirit the human spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? Or is it describing something else concerning salvation? And let's just take and break it down and find out what it's speaking about. Is this the human spirit that is praying? The answer is no. It is not the human spirit. For if it was the human spirit, then the person would have an understanding of what he said. This is not the case here, for, notice now, my understanding is unfruitful. You see, God made man with a human spirit which gives understanding. In Job chapter 32, verse 8, the Bible tells us, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Then you may read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, where the human spirit and the Holy Spirit are described as giving a person understanding. With our human spirit, we understand the things of the world as contrasted with the Holy Spirit, which enables us to understand the spiritual things of God. Now, let's take a second item here. Is this the Holy Spirit that is praying? Again, to this, we put an emphatic no. Again, we call your attention to the fact that speaking in tongues or languages was for the edification of the church, in verse 4 and also verse 2, as they received the Word of God. Now, if the person was speaking by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit would have also given the interpretation to the interpreter, and we find this in 14 verse 5 and verse 13 verse 27. This was not the case here at Corinth, since there was no understanding on the speaker's part, and no interpretation or interpreter, it could not have been by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's take a look at point number 3. Then what does my spirit prayeth mean? You see, when you look up the word spirit in your concordance, you'll find that the Greek word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, is translated various ways in the Bible. The word is translated breath, it's translated life, wind, ghost. In our English translated Bibles, for example, in Revelation chapter 13, 15, in the King James translation, the Greek word pneuma is translated life. In John chapter 3, verse 8, the Greek word pneuma is translated wind. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7, the Greek word pneuma is translated spirits, and of course referring to the angels as ministering spirits. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 11, again the Greek word pneuma is translated spirit, but not in the Moffat translation or the Revised Standard Version or the English Bible, where it is translated breath. Now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 23, the Greek word pneuma is translated ghost, and in the Revised Standard Version is translated spirit. Now, the reason for this is, that we've listed this is, just to give you a few of these translations here, how the Greek word is translated, to show that many times the context will determine to what the Greek word pneuma is referring. As previously stated, my spirit prayeth is not the human spirit of understanding, nor the Holy Spirit of God, but would better be understood as my desire and emotions prayeth. Here the person desired to pray, but was void of adhering to God's will that the church be edified, that one interpret, therefore, they were allowing their emotions to have free will going contrary to God's will, and I would mark that down and make a notation of it. God's will is expressed in verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. And again, let me emphasize, they were allowing their emotions to have free will going contrary to God's will. Now, let's go on here to verses 15 and 16. Let's read it again. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Now notice here in verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, then how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest? Now, in verses 15 and 16, we find a person is never to sing in tongues. Why? No understanding. Our will ought to be God's will. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding also. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Now, notice here in verse 16. Verse 16 rebukes them for not giving thanks the same way, and that is with understanding. Now, I see here that our time is just about gone. We would like to take, in closing here, now we'll close here with verse 16 and pick it up next week and continue right on down here with a verse-by-verse examination here, face-to-face with tongues. And if you're listening and you honestly want to know what the Bible says, folks, I want to tell you there are so many people that are listening, not listening to God's Word, but they're listening to man's Word and being fooled by this so-called sincerity and love of God. And I might say this, I'm going to say this if I may, because it is true. Well, I believe and I never challenge a person's sincerity in speaking in tongues until they are shown the truth from the Word of God. And then when they reject that, I count them as unsincere, unreliable, and they do not want the truth. I do not question the sincerity until they have been shown in the Bible. And then when they refuse God's Word and will not take the Word of God, which rebukes their counterfeit spirit of speaking in tongues, then I will conclude they are in no way sincere, and they have taken feelings and emotions over the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they have been deceived. Now, in closing, let me say this. I have all I need in Christ, and I do not need anything of a counterfeit. Folks, we only pray that you'll take the Word of God. It's not this pastor. It's not this church doctrine. It doesn't make any difference, but it is the Bible doctrine, the doctrine of Christ and the Holy Spirit and God that wrote this in 1 Corinthians 14. We pray, as the middle verse of the Bible says in Psalms 118:8, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. But most important from all of this, we do not want to get sidelined. Will you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved? Your sins will be forgiven. God said, I'll make you a new creation, and you're bound for heaven when you put your faith in Christ. Accept him as your Savior, and God said, you'll never perish, believest thou this. It's been so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time. We would appreciate it if you'd take a second and sit down and drop us a line. Let us know that you're listening. But I see our time's gone. We'll pick it up here next week and continue on here. So let me ask you, what are you trusting? Are you trusting your self-righteousness? Or are you trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins and promised that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life? Well, thank you for joining with us, and I hope you'll continue next week and follow along in this series here. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is The Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.